Well, the passage that I chose to preach from is actually taken out of a narrative. The last time I spoke, I believe I was talking about Paul giving his testimony and then having it rejected in this, inside the temple, near the temple. And there was a uproar, and the police had to come, the soldiers had to come. So that's where we're picking up in this story. And I only have three verses in Acts chapter 23, verses 10 through 12. Just three verses. The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." The next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. So, sandwiched in between these two verses, 10 and 12, is verse 11. And this sandwich is this. The meat is in the middle in verse 11, but sandwich is on the outside, the two pieces of bread for the sandwich, are his arrest and his threatened assassination. And this verse 11 encouraged Paul in his harsh circumstances. They were harsh circumstances. He'd had others like them, but he often had them. But here they are, and they're in our passage right now. And when we look at them, and we look at the verse 11, which we're going to concentrate on, God can do the same for us to encourage us in the midst of harsh circumstances. So let me reread that verse again. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." Paul's story was very, very dramatic, and it's probably a lot more dramatic than our story. But in times of trial, in times of hardship, in times of difficulty, all Christians, we need Christ's encouraging presence. And this is what if you look on the worship folder, this is what I've entitled this message: Christ's encouraging presence. We need to know that Jesus will never forsake his servants. We need to remember that. And we need to walk in the faith of that all the time in every circumstance that we're in. And that's what we're going to learn. He's never going to forsake his servants. And that's what we learn in verse 11. We learn, first of all, that the Lord's real presence will be with us. In verse 11 it said, "The following night the Lord stood near Paul." Christ ended his great commission by saying in Matthew 28, and these are the last words in the Gospel of Matthew, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is with us in the troubles that we face as messengers of God. He's with us. He stays with us. John chapter 16, verse 33, and I keep repeating this verse. I'm sharing it a lot these days. It's always been a precious verse to me, John 16, 33. But just the last part of the verse: "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart." Take heart. Take courage. That's the same translated word. "I have overcome the world." The reason that that's an encouragement to us is because of his presence. If he said, I overcame the world, so hey, go ahead, go overcome the world. No. It's encouraging to us because of his presence with us. The one who overcame the world is with us. He's staying with us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to stick by us through thick and thin. So we know that he lives inside of us. That's the teaching of Scripture. We also know that he's in our midst when we come together in his name. He's right here today in a special way. But there are times that we feel him near us in a very special way. We just sort of like sense his presence. You may have had this where you're reading Scripture sometime or you're in prayer and you just feel the comfort of God. It's just like he's there. He's like he was. Well, he is there. He's always there. He's here in our midst right now, but sometimes we just feel his presence in a special way. It's like the chorus writer who, I'm not going to sing it. Sometimes I do sing these, but the chorus writer that wrote, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and its grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place." Whoever wrote that was probably sensing, I want to capture that concept because it's there. And sometimes you can see it in people. I was visiting Ron, who is over in the second service when we used to have a second service. But I was visiting him and he was saying, you've been watching the Olympics. And I said, well, no, I really been watching more about the fires and things. And he says, well, I've been watching him and I've been watching this one volleyball player. She just has a face that is beaming and it's like she's beaming all the time. And I said, that's really cool. He said, well, I looked it up. I have my little computer thing. I looked it up. I looked up this girl, found out that in college she accepted Jesus as her Savior and she became very vocal about it. This girl was showing the glory of Jesus in her life. She's giving all glory to him for her successes. So that's something that Ron told me, and I thought, you know, that's it. When we go places and we see a person whose face is beaming with the joy of the Lord, we just know Jesus. That person's been with Jesus, and Jesus is present with that person. Now, Christ rarely appears as he did to Paul that night. I mean, how many have had Christ appear to you? Appear to you? Physically. Well, not many of us. I don't think any of us here. But longer than anybody can remember, longer ago than anybody here can remember, because Rosemary remembers Gulshan Esther. She was a lady from Pakistan who was, when she was a little girl, she got a disease that crippled all of her legs and shriveled them up. But she wanted to be healed. She went to the Muslim places to try to get Allah to heal her. But she started reading about Jesus. I forget how they call him. Isus like that in the Quran. It talks about the prophet. He's the only one that healed people in the Quran. So she started saying, I want to pray to him. One day, in her room, suddenly Jesus appeared, but with 12 other beings. She didn't see who their faces, he only saw the face of Jesus. And he said, child, get up and walk to me. And he says, I can't. He says, just get up and walk to me. She did, and when she put her feet on the ground, her legs started to just fill up with new tissue. And she walked to him, and he says, now I want to teach you a prayer. She never had a Bible. She said, I want to teach you a prayer. She taught her the Lord's Prayer. She never knew that was the Lord's Prayer until she finally got a Bible about 5 years later and saw, while she was first reading Matthew, the prayer that Jesus taught me. Wow. So there are people that have had those kinds of experiences. They're very far and few between. But I have to say that each of us has surely had the felt presence of the Lord in our lives. And it's so wonderful. I tried to capture this in a poem. And I think I've read it before, but I'm going to read three stanzas from it. I wasn't there. It just tries to capture this idea of the felt presence of Jesus in our lives right now. I wasn't there when Jesus rose from death. I didn't see the risen Christ, my Lord. But I have felt him blow his gentle breath when on my knees his blessing I implored. I wasn't there when Thomas voiced his doubt and failed to trust until the Lord appeared. But I was here when troubles thrashed about till Jesus led me past the things I feared. I wasn't there when he returned on high to reign beside his Father on the throne. But I will hold his hand the day I die and feel the touch that I have always known. And that's it. Someday when we get a hold of Jesus' hand, we'll say, what a familiar hand! And when we see his face, I never saw his face, but what a familiar face! It's going to be like that. During times of trouble, Jesus will never, never forsake his servants. When we experience those times of the felt presence of Jesus, those are so precious. But he gives us something more than that. He gives us something more than that. That's the next part here. The Lord will speak encouragement to us. And that's what he did in verse 11. The Lord said to Paul, take courage. And in the King James and the New King James Version, it's be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. That's what a lot of us are familiar with. A bright countenance of good cheer comes when Jesus lifts us up out of our downcast feelings from discouragement into confidence. And we start walking confidently. Then we have this be of good cheer. And you know, that passage that I read before, John 16:33, the last part, I'm going to read it again in the King James because they use that same translation. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And again, this good cheer that we experience, it comes from knowing that Jesus is the one who is saying, be of good cheer. He's the one who is saying, take courage. He's the one who is speaking to us. It's coming directly from him to our hearts. It may not be audible. You know, I don't think I've ever heard an audible voice of Jesus. Maybe I've heard the name David one time. And I, what? You know, like that. But I've heard it inside where Jesus was talking to me. And sometimes I question, is that really Jesus? And then he answers again. And I say, oh boy, I better listen. But sometimes we have that, and we need to be listening. We need to be listening. In Scripture, prayer is a two-way conversation. If you look in Scripture and you look the stories in Scriptures of prayer, it's always, it seems to be most of the time, a two-way conversation. God speaks and we listen. We speak and God listens. Many of us grew up in churches where it was taught that once the Bible was complete, then God stopped speaking. Once the Bible was complete, then God stopped speaking. And if we have believed that false idea, that's a false idea. It's not in Scripture. It's a false idea. If we believed it, then we stopped listening. We don't think God's ever going to speak. Now we have books, How to Hear from God, How to Listen for the Voice of the Lord. You know, and you read books about it, and there's a great one by, I think it's called Hearing God by Dallas Willard. It's an amazing book. It goes throughout all of Scripture. He's a philosopher type. So he takes all of Scripture and he shows why we have to believe that God is speaking to us today. He always takes the Word of God, the Scriptures that are completed, and you have to compare everything that he says to you with that Scripture, or else it's probably not from him. But, and it's true, Scripture speaks to us. It does. God speaks to us. Sometimes the Scripture jumps out at us, and we know that that's God speaking to us. How many have had that experience? Come on. I'm sure you have. Reading the Scripture, and all of a sudden, that's a promise for me. I can hold on to that promise. Well, we need to, we don't need to read, well, it's good if you do read books like that, Hearing God and those kind of things. They really encourage our faith. But all you really need to do is just to look at the Bible, see the promises of God where he says he's going to speak to you, and then expect it to happen. Expect it to happen. And you'll probably hear more. During trials, Jesus never forsakes his servants. There are Bible verses that encourage us just because that's how they're written. They're written to encourage us. We get words from friends and relatives that encourage us many times when we're going through trials. But we also need to listen for Christ's voice. Why? Because we're sheep. And he said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Hearing his voice brings us good cheer. It really does. It brings us encouragement. It encourages us. It makes us to take courage, take heart, because we're servants of the King. We're servants of the King. We're not on our own. We have his felt presence. We have his presence by faith, but sometimes we have that felt presence of the Lord. We hear his inner voice, hopefully. If we're not hearing his inner voice, then we need to listen more. We need to trust his promises to speak and listen. And then we just expect him to do it. So we have his inner voice, but we have something else. The Lord will affirm our place in his plans. Did you know that each one of you have a place in his plans? Each one of you are on a mission. He has sent you into this world. If he's done with you, you're out of here. When he's done with me, I want to be out of here. You know, I don't want to be just left around doing nothing. I want to keep serving the Lord. That should be our goal in life. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. You know, the affirmation that we seek from God in heaven, the affirmation that we're looking for when we get to heaven is this in Matthew 25:10, where Jesus said in the parable, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." Well done. We're looking for that well done. We want to hear it from Jesus' lips to us. That's what we're looking for, that affirmation. But when troubles distract us, and sometimes the distraction is very disorienting, when things distract us, think we get our eyes on what's going on that's just terrible around us, and it's distracting us from being faithful servants, then Jesus sometimes, he has to come. And he has to be present with us. And we have to feel his presence. And we have to hear his voice. And he's going to tell us who we really are. He's going to say, "I want to affirm to you something. Who you really are. You are my witnesses." That's what the whole book of Acts is about. You are my witnesses. So by these last words in verse 11, Jesus told Paul, "I still have work for you to do." You're not done, Paul. This is not it. I still have work for you to do. And each day that we wake up, we're still on earth. We say, "Hey, I'm on earth still." Then we still have work to do. Our mission is not over yet. And that's what we have to... That's what we have to remember. Every day we're on mission. Every day it's Jesus is our Lord. He's the one we hear and follow. We're his sheep. We're his servants. We're servants of the kingdom. So that's our priority at the very beginning of the day. Lord, what do you want? What are we doing today? Not what would Jesus do, but what will Jesus do today? Me and him together, you know? Well, I have to give pastoral advice to many people who are on their deathbed. And many times they say, "Why am I still here?" And you probably have heard this too from people who are dying. And you know they're going to go, but you don't know when. And they don't know when. And so I have to be a pastor and I have to give them advice. And I have to be a pastor all the way through till the end. And so here's what I tell them, and it may sound strange, but I say, you know, your mission's not over yet, or you'd be out of here. So my advice, if you're anxious about going to heaven, is that know that your mission is not finished, until you pray your last prayer. And after you pray your last prayer, Jesus, let's bring him home. That's what I feel. I feel like, so keep praying. That's what I tell him. Because that's so important. We still have a mission. That's something we can do even from a bed that we're never going to get out of. So whether we're behind bars, threatened with death as Paul was, or in an ICU bed on a ventilator with COVID, or we're facing some other debilitating disease, thing that's making you get tired more and more, like this cancer I think is doing to me sometimes, or facing any other difficult circumstance in our lives, nothing can stop our mission. Nothing. Nothing can stop our mission until Jesus says, come home, my faithful servant. That's what we're listening for. If you really want to know, we're listening for that time. Come home. It's time to come home. When I hear that, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. So no matter what the troublesome circumstances that we're facing, Jesus will never forsake his servants. Through every trial, he's present with us. If we get our focus off of our hardships and we listen with our inner ears, we're going to hear his encouraging voice in these hardships. And his encouragement, it's going to last right up until the moment he takes us to heaven. And if things are looking bleak, if things start looking bleak in your life, then just remember his promise. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this encouragement that you gave to Paul. I pray right now, Lord God, that you would bless us and help us as a people to trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.